And now my friend, Benedictine abbot Timothy Wright, brings us the second part of his talk on the prophet Elijah, the story of a powerful king determined to get his own way. Last week, Elijah, on God's command, first proclaimed drought, then, always on God's orders, lived in a cave in total obedience to the Creator. In the next phase, having accepted that his life is in the hands of God, he meets up with a woman and works the miracle of providing food. Thanks, Father Timothy points out, to the innate sense of hospitality of the woman herself. And the second point of the reflection, he says, is that if we really want to communicate God to each other, we have to be open to each other, and we have to learn that other people are important, and that hospitality is a way of recognizing God in our neighbour, whoever that neighbour is. But now Elijah's story continues to unfold dramatically.
And then, having eaten the food, the next disaster happens in the household. The son dies. And the widow is beside herself with remorse and says to Elijah, "What have I done?" And Elijah says, "You know what you've done." And the woman then realizes that she had been a sinner. And that is our third step of our retreat, of our own little desert, is to recognize that some of the negative things in our lives emerge out of our own weakness, of our selfishness. And very often, we can cloak all that with moral righteousness. And many of us, I'm certainly guilty of moral righteousness, when in fact, the moral truth is the generous open-heartedness of someone who has nothing and still wants to share. And yet, in that open-heartedness from the past, there is a guilt. And the death of the son is a reminder of the guilt. I'm not saying the death of the son was caused by the guilt. That's not the point. But it brought to life a deep sense of guilt, hiding an even deeper sense of faith. And Elijah moves into the position of healing the son, raising the son to life, and removing that sense of guilt, offering the love of God, which is forgiveness and mercy, to this poor woman who's been struggling for years with this covered sense of guilt, unworthiness. And how many people there are in the world who suffer this sense of oppressive guilt, often, sadly, laid on them by others who should know better. And so the child lives, the woman recovers her sense of faith and the ability to love. And then Elijah is then swept away to the top of Mount Carmel in order to bring home to that king that the religious structures that he had bought into were phony, that it was Elijah who was God's prophet. And so there took this public contest between the prophets of the Baals and Elijah on the top of this mountain. And the contest was simple. They gathered all the people, they put the prophets there, and each of them was going to offer a sacrifice. And the prophets of the Baals laid out their sacrifice, chanted their prayers, implored their God. And the intention was, "Come God, burn our sacrifice." But nothing happened. And then, having accepted that nothing happened, and confident that Elijah would have the same fate, Ahab turned to Elijah and said, "Right, your go now." So Elijah prepared his sacrifice. Just him. His sacrifice. And to make it even more obvious, he'd poured water all over the sacrifice. And he then prayed, burnt the offering, and it's a huge, towering flame. Truth and falsehood, our fourth element of our retreat. The truth of the God who creates, who continues to love, and offers a future. The falsehood, represented by the 400 prophets, speaking with eloquent tongues, convincing millions of people in that area, able to produce subtle answers and ask difficult questions. And yet, at the moment of challenge, failed. Ahab was quick to remove the prophets of the Baals, condemned because they were false. But it is a challenge that our reflection in our retreat allows us to ponder truth and falsehood. The truth that God creates and our lives are dependent. The truth that God guides us. The truth that God is present in hospitality. The truth that God forgives our sins to renew our life, strengthen our love. The truth that God is the one that works the wonders. And it was precisely at that moment, after the contest with the prophets of Baal, that Elijah then called on the heavens and the rains came. But that's not the end of the story. Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, had now got it in for Elijah. All her religion had been destroyed. Her husband was now in a situation where he totally reliant on this wandering preacher who didn't seem to be able to be stable anywhere. And Elijah hears that Jezebel is determined to kill him. So off he goes to the desert, making his way eventually to Mount Sinai. And he climbs Mount Sinai. And there is the final point of our retreat. There he has the intimacy of a sense of the presence of God. Not a vision, but a sense. Not in a wind or an earthquake, but in stillness. And it is that moment of vision. It can be a moment of peace, of tranquility. It can be a moment of daring courage. It can be a moment of deep suffering tinged with a promise of life. Whatever that moment is, it's the touch of God. And that is what culminates a retreat, as it culminated Elijah's life. And our own need for such a moment to reflect on the prophet of Elijah as a model for our own life is an agenda which a few days away on retreat, either on own or with deep friends, with silence, with reflection, with hope, with honesty, but in the end, most important of all, the love that is the presence of God, affirming each of us where we are at, saying, yes, I love you more than you love me.
That was Benedictine Abbot, Timothy Wright.